You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 17 May, Chinese retail sales year on year came out an hour ago, plus 2.3%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks from F&B Wealth and Investments. A weak Barlow World update, whether maybe I'm being a bit nasty when I say weak. It's tough out there, but a strong one from Sanlam. Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat, strong results from them. Construction materials, anthracite, both very strong. And thoughts from me on attending AGMs and your rights when you do. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from News 24. Electricity bill makes history as Eskom's 100-year monopoly faces its end. The bill will establish a state-owned transmission system operator. Business Day. Market welcomes Nampak's exit from Nigeria. Underlying business is becoming far more attractive, say analysts, after shares end 14% higher. Morning markets, a lot of red this morning. The US, S&P and NASDAQ both down 0.2%. Over in Asia, East, it's mixed. Sydney off 0.2%, Tokyo down 0.9%. Hong Kong is the green, up 0.2%, while Tencent is off 0.1%. Commodities, mostly red. Gold, 2,381. Brent is the green at 83.48. PGMs red. Platinum, 1,067. Palladium, 979. Rand, 18.21. Bitcoin, 65,500. And top 40 opening call, red open, 420 points, was 0.6% lower.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chaining now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investment. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. The Barlow World, I mean, firstly, share price up 50% in 2 months. That is a wild number. Continuing operations, 6.2% to 9.7% lower. I mean, it is tough out there for an industrial. I mean, not even just in South Africa. I suspect South America, Europe, Asia, industrial is finding it tough, perhaps particularly so, however, in our market.
Yes, so I think for Barlow World specifically, there's two reasons why they've been under pressure in the equipment space specifically. So firstly, the Eurasia business is exposed to Russia.
Yeah.
Of course, you will have a massive pressure on Russian capex when it comes to the mines over there. So that equipment business will be hamstrung at the moment. And then from a South African perspective, we've been waiting for mining capital expenditure to increase because we do have certain critical minerals that are going to be in deficit over the next few years. But because of some of the other challenges that we face in South Africa, mines have actually been pulling back on production and expenditure on expansion. So this has been negative for Barlow World. I don't think it's going to be the issue forever. Mm-hmm. So I think there's still a lot of value in that business. And I'm interested to try and figure out why that share price rallied so much. I mean, there was some technical support there before that big rally. But then there was also, I think, a cautionary announcement or some announcement out there that really spurred on that rally. And I'm wondering what they're selling. Do you think it's the Russian business, Simon?
That was going to be my point, because you're right. There was a cautionary was back on the 15th of April. It didn't say much. The stock had done well before that, but they kind of tied to commodities, except for Russia. So surely they would want to. I mean, it was a good business for a long time, but it just isn't. So find a buyer.
Yeah, I think that if you look at what Mondi did, they were quite aggressive in pursuing a buyer and trying to exit that Russian business.
Yeah.
And I think it was quite positive ultimately, because they ended up being able to pay a special dividend as well. So hopefully Barlow will follow suit.
Yeah, I'd forgotten, of course, Mondi, and I mean they got a fair chunk of cash. I mean, not perhaps a big best value, but a lot of money. Sanlam, I mean, 3 months ending March, this is a stock that actually had a really good 2023. It's recovered a lot this year. I mean, aside from, and maybe I'm being a little bit picky, gross written premiums only 5% higher, but broadly, I thought otherwise a good-looking update.
Yes, it was a very good looking update. The value of new business in particular, in life insurance up by a solid 10%. Margins kind of stable on a constant currency basis, a little bit impacted by currency volatility now that they are a bit more broadly entrenched in the Pan-African market. The investment management business also recovering quite nicely. And I think that their international operations actually perform quite well also. This company is also in such a solid financial position. And I think that they have a lot of powder dry or while they're generating cash at a massive rate. So that allows them constantly have powder dry in order to make new acquisitions and enter new markets. And they gave a bit of an update on Sanlam Alliance as well, things progressing well there. Assupol and Capitec Funeral joint venture is on track to be, or those acquisitions are on track to be finalized later this year. And I love the way that they explain that it's expected to proceed without disruption. So I think that what they mean is that it's not going to be disruptive of this growth momentum. They were, though, quite cautious, but that's the way Sanlam's management are in tempering market expectations that this growth may not continue for the rest of the financial year.
I take your point, but that is kind of, and it is weird how different teams talk differently around prospects. And Sunlum's being one of those who kind of always sort of, I suppose they underpromise and overdeliver, which is great. I mean, it can make you nervous, but that has kind of been their rationale and how they operate since forever.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing what Sunlum does quite well is they explain extremely complex concepts very clearly in their financial statements and in their presentations, the way that they communicate. And sometimes it does feel like your eyes are going to glaze over because, I mean, these are all actuarial concepts, but they are very open in the way that they share their results and they explain their results as well, which I really like. The only problem with Sanlam is now it looks a little bit expensive, Simon. I do think it's one of those stocks that you can buy and just hold and not look at. But I think if you're a new buyer, it could be a little bit expensive right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's rallied from what, low 60s up to now mid 70s. And of course, the big move last year from 50 odd up to 75. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investment. Always appreciate the early morning insights.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. When you invest in STANLIB's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the unpredictable ups and downs caused by day-to-day market fluctuations. Because our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. STANLIB Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat. Results for year-end February saw HEPS up 24%, a final dividend of around 54 for the year. Andreas, a very, very strong year. I mean, you've talked around it as we have chatted over the many years. You mention it in your results around that sort of diversity and competitive advantage. And that really is coming through in these numbers.
Yes, we're very pleased. The strategy that we embarked on a couple of years ago is really paying off very nicely. And we saw a very good performance, actually all around, except for one small part of our business. Everything else actually did quite well. We're very happy.
The one was Nkomati Anthracite. Now, we chatted 6 months ago, and there'd been some challenges, but it was also in ramp-up, and it ramped up in spectacular style. I mean, a 754% rise in profit, a low base, but that's now up and running.
It's actually still ramping up further. We actually want to take it a little bit further. Okay. But in short, we are very satisfied where we are now. It's a very challenging mine and nothing is easy there. Mm-hmm. But I think we've got a strong team there and they've really got their hands around it now. Yeah.
Pure Construction Materials, which was up some 100% at mid-year, up again 111% at year-end, doing very well, very strong. Who's your customer? When we chatted last time, you said that some of it was road and rail, which was positive for the bigger economy picture.
We're seeing a lot of activity on the road building front around the country. And now with Lafarge in, we're very excited about, for instance, all the work going on in KZN on the coastal region and things like that. So that did well. And also with a strong drive right now from Transnet to try and improve the performance of the two export lines. And we are in a position to supply some of the ballast for those two lines. And we also saw a very strong demand in the year for that.
You mentioned Lafarge. The closing of that deal was post the year end, not in these numbers. Is the Lafarge deal one where you kind of walk in and from day one it starts making some profit, or is there some cleaning and fixing to do?
No, there's some cleaning and fixing to do. The business is not performing well at the moment. So it's another turnaround. The aggregates and fly ash businesses are doing okay, although we can see that there's some help needed there to make it even better. And then the cement business, the cement factory is underperforming quite badly. We need to fix it up and get that business to perform again.
When we spoke at mid-year and it was ahead of the deal, it had been announced but not yet concluded, you mentioned that Pieter de Wit, the CFO, would be sort of seconded to do the integration. Is that process still ongoing? Is he still sort of in charge of bringing Lafarge into the bigger group?
Yes. Yeah. So we've taken a full-on project management approach. So Pieter is doing this full-time now as the, let's call it, the project director. Mm-hmm. And then we have different work streams with project leaders under him working on all the different aspects of the systems, the human resources, the IT systems, the whole lot, and to integrate that into our business and to incorporate that into our structures.
Some pressure on iron ore prices later in your financial year, which is ending February, still very profitable. How much of a challenge is Transnet for you? You've got some internal customers. Can you put iron ore in a truck?
Yeah, on the domestic line, that has been our saving grace. We've actually trucked quite a lot of material from the Northern Cape to Gauteng this year. Mm-hmm. So that is possible. It's not economically feasible to do that on the export line. Saldanha is just too far away from the Northern Cape. I must say, on the export lines, although we have, you know, as an industry, the rail system on the export line is not in a good state. Mm-hmm. But with a new leadership at Transnet, we're really hopeful that together we're going to turn this thing. There's a big change in the whole attitude from them towards accepting help from industry. Mm-hmm. I'm very positive. I think it's going to be a while still. I think they got their job cut out, but at least the willingness is there to work together towards a better solution.
With that bottleneck essentially of that line to Saldanha, do you mine and stockpile? Do you reduce capacity perhaps at the mine, or can you sell it to internal customers in Gauteng?
Yeah, we balance our production to the demand, okay. And we have the domestic customer and the export. You know, we just balance our production accordingly.
Probably the only disappointment in the results was industrial minerals. What happened there?
Yeah, that's a bit of a disappointment. The business did not do well at all. It's a couple of factors, but I suppose the biggest was really the effect of load shedding, and it was both ways on ourselves. You know, earlier in the year, we were not really fully prepared for that, so we didn't have the generating capacity, our own diesel generators on site, which we now have. And then secondly, many of our customers were also, you know, industrial customers, and they were, especially on the higher stages of load shedding, they were impacted quite badly.
Your future materials and metals, this is your sort of newest division, Glenover, still very small, still very new, but how is that doing? I mean, in time it's going to become significant, but it's early days there still.
Yeah, it's very early days. So we have just finished a couple of weeks ago, we finished the construction of the single superphosphate plant. Mm-hmm. And we started commissioning. We're still busy with a ramp up. We started to make some really good quality product out of that. And it's a ramp up phase. So, I think it'll be another, for the rest of this financial year, it's really about ramping up and getting the business to produce sustainably.
And is that into the agricultural sector?
Yeah, that's into the fertilizer market.
Last question, as I said up front, a really good set of numbers, a record year for Afrimat. In some ways, you're going full circle with Lafarge, but of course, you're a fundamentally different group. Now, looking forward, I mean, broadly, another strong year anticipated.
Yeah, we hope so. Obviously, with Lafarge being incorporated, I think in the beginning, the Lafarge business as a whole is loss-making in the beginning. So there's a big focus to turn that around very quickly. So that might put a little bit of a damper on the first half. But we're quite bullish about the longer-term future, you know, given that Nkomati is really ramping up very nicely now. We think Lafarge has enormous potential once it's turned around. Glenova slowly coming in, you know, so we think that the year ahead should be another good one.
We'll leave it there. Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat, always appreciate the time.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Thoughts for me on annual general meetings. When we buy a share, we buy it almost as a passive investment in the sense that we've made an active decision to buy it, but passive in that the company then gets run by the directors and staff and management, and we will get our slice of profits, that's dividends if there are any, and in an ideal world that the share price goes up over time and we can make a profit that way. But annual general meetings are sort of the active, important part of being a shareholder as well. There are a requirement of the Companies Act. They are annual, as suggested in the name. You will get special meetings as well if there are big mergers, acquisitions, deals, etc., which will be held. And all shareholders are entitled to attend, vote, and or send your representative to vote on your behalf. You also, at the AGM, can get to ask questions. Now, this is a bit of hit and miss. Sometimes the Q&A can be, I don't want to say robust, but can be engaging, and we can learn things and understand management better and understand the business better. Sometimes management consider the questions seemingly to be a nuisance and would rather that you left them to, I suppose, be managers, which they think they're doing great. That in of itself, of course, is telling. Most directors are more friendly than others. There will also be a chairperson's report. Again, the details sometimes vary between companies. And if it's significant and there's sort of, you know, privileged information, it will be published on SENSE in the interest of fairness. The key point, of course, is the vote, is that you get to vote. One share, one vote. Now, unlikely that anyone, certainly not me and probably not many of you listening, you know, have significant percentage holdings that we can move the dial on the vote. But the point with voting is that you've got that right. And if there's enough people who agree the same way, you can, I mean, directors can be voted off, auditors can be changed, things can happen. Of course, there is the remuneration report, which is a non-binding vote. In other words, you vote and they can ignore it. But if more than half of you vote against it, they have to engage with shareholders. It doesn't work so great, but the logic is kind of there. In the olden days, you had to attend them practically in person, and that was often a challenge. Now we get the virtual ones. Virtuals doesn't always work brilliant. Sometimes there's tech. Of course, it's harder to ask questions because sometimes they have a gatekeeper in that regard. But certainly, you know, I own shares which have got head offices in Cape Town, head offices in Durban, and it's not so easy to attend the AGM. A virtual one does make it a lot easier. If you want to attend, speak to your broker. They will arrange forms. If you want to vote but not attend, your same broker can arrange a proxy where you tell them how to vote on your behalf. Importantly, if you don't instruct your broker to vote on your behalf and you don't attend, your shares are simply not voted. And that's in our question today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Do you attend AGMs? Perhaps you do it virtually. Perhaps you can do it when you can. I've got two upcoming, and both of them just happen to be at times when I am live on TV and therefore can't attend. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. We were chatting with Lwabo Ngqikelelo yesterday from Perpetua Investment Managers, talking about healthcare stocks as the president signed the NHI bill on Wednesday. There are seemingly court cases already being prepared that will probably hit the courts in the next couple of days. We asked if you were concerned about the impact of NHI on healthcare on the JSE. It was an even split. Half of you saying avoiding altogether, the other half saying, you know what, it's just not going to happen. Well, certainly it's not going to happen in a hurry. There isn't even timelines yet in the process. And of course, the finance minister who needs to fund it has clearly said in his budget speech in February, there is no money. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nwabuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating in your podcatcher of choice, and we'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.